This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
I'd like to welcome you all very heartily to this day of exploration, really, thinking about, reflecting upon, and finding out more about Ludwig Leichhardt. As is customary, I'd like to acknowledge the Ngunnawal people as the traditional owners of this area. Of course, this site overlooking what was the Molonglo River would have been a very significant one to Aboriginal people. And I'd also like to acknowledge another group of particular significance to us, all those people who were born at, died at, and were healed at the Royal Canberra Hospital, because that complex, in its various forms, occupied this site for about a half a century until we came on the scene. And so the National Museum of Australia occupies a very significant site historically, and we're very well aware of that. So we're here today to think about Ludwig Leichhardt, and it's great to see so much interest in this person who I think has largely been forgotten about by present-day Australians. If you were to go out to the average person and say, who's Leichhardt? Well, in Sydney, they'd say, don't be silly, it's not a who, it's a suburb. If you're in Mount Isa, they say, well, it's the river that runs through our town. If you were out here in Kingston or any one of a number of Australian towns and cities, they'd say, well, it's that street just over there. Now, some people would know, of course, about Leichhardt the Explorer, and they'd think, well, wasn't he that guy that just totally disappeared sometime during the 19th century? And, well, that'd be true, because I guess that's, unfortunately, Leichhardt's greatest claim to fame is that he and his expedition, which set off in 1848 from the Darling Downs, entirely disappeared. And, you know, you see references to this this very narrow view of Leichhardt time and again. Not so long ago in the Sydney Morning Herald, there was an article, a feature article about exploration, and all it had to say about Ludwig was the failure of Leichhardt. Well, of course, what is totally overlooked in that statement is the fact that only a few years earlier, in 1844 to 45, Leichhardt completed one of the longest overland journeys in Australian exploration history, from Moreton Bay through to Port Essington, or in today's terms, basically from Brisbane to Darwin. That was a huge undertaking, and although he and his fellows had been given up for dead, he and almost all of the group got through alive to Port Essington. So that was a major achievement in its day. But what also is forgotten today is that Leichhardt was more than an explorer. He was a scientist, and as we will hear today, he was very well qualified to observe and to record the Australian environment that he passed through. And in fact, he was one of the most acute observers of Australia's environment to that time. Of course, it is his disappearance which has seen Leichhardt become part of Australian mystery and mythology and folklore, and part of Australian literature as well. And I guess all of us here today would know that Patrick White's Voss is based to some large extent, on the Leichhardt story. And we'll be hearing about Leichhardt, the figure in literature, today as well. So I think it's appropriate to think of Leichhardt like a watermark, seen strongly in some lights, but almost invisible in others. Perhaps he should be more visible, and indeed I think that's what we're trying to achieve here today. And we're aware that recently there have been other gatherings associated with Leichhardt in North Queensland. I think it was Charters Towers, recently at the Academy of Science. And we hope that today's event will continue what might become a bit of a momentum to try to reinstate Leichhardt to the place in Australian history where he belongs. So it is this complex Leichhardt and his significance that we'll be hearing about today. Now, you have a copy of the program which shows you who the speakers are, and there are the speakers' biographies and abstracts in there. And we are very indebted to all of our speakers for coming, in some cases from very long distances, to be with us today. And we're all looking forward to hearing from you in due course. Now, of course, the major reason for why the National Museum of Australia is putting on this symposium today is that in November last year, we acquired the Leichhardt nameplate. And as you can see from our very subtle display over here, the nameplate is on display. So those of you who didn't see it when we acquired it in November, there it is, and there's some text there talking about the story. And because of the relationship between today and the acquisition of the nameplate, of course, you see it there in a larger form on the screen. I should have put that on earlier. I'd like to just give an outline of the story about the nameplate, and our first two speakers, their presentations relate to varying degrees to the nameplate. It was found in about 1900, attached to a partly burnt firearm in a baobab tree in the Sturt Creek area near the WANT border. It was found by an Aboriginal man that we only know of as Jackie, who was working with an outback stockman and prospector named Charles Harding. Harding recognised the value of the nameplate attached to the firearm. He disposed of the firearm but kept the plate. Most of the time he kept it hidden, and in his house in Laura in South Australia, he used to wrap it in newspaper and stick it behind the mantelpiece. But he would get it out and show it to people from time to time, and when he did that, he used to rub it with fireplace ash to bring up a bit of a shine on it. Obviously, he didn't have access to Brasso or something like that out in the bush. In about 1917, a young teenager in Laura, Reg Bristow Smith, who had got to know Harding, he talked Harding into giving him the nameplate. And 3 years later, in 1920, Harding loaned the plate to the South Australian Museum, which was very interested in it. They kept it for a year. They wanted Bristow Smith to actually donate it, but he didn't want to give it to them at that time. Then in 1934, Bristow Smith loaned the plate to very well-known South Australian explorer and surveyor Larry Wells, and this enabled the South Australian branch of the Royal Geographical Society of Australasia to undertake an exhaustive study of the plate and its purported place of discovery. And in 1937, in its published proceedings, the Society concluded that the plate was genuine and that its place of discovery was genuine as well. But unfortunately, the following year, in 1938, Wells was killed in a railway accident, and the person to whom the plate had passed within the South Australian bureaucracy, a Mr. J. Morne in the Lands Department, he died too in the early 1940s. And so with the loss of this corporate memory, the plate virtually disappeared into the South Australian government. And it ended up with the South Australian Libraries Board, and it wasn't until 1964 that Reg Bristow Smith finally got it back again. And so it was with the Bristow Smith family, who were then living in Goolwa, right through until the last couple of years. And in late 2005, thanks to Daryl Lewis, who you'll be hearing from in a moment, the museum and the Bristow Smith family made contact with one another, and we then spent a year analysing the nameplate, and we concluded that it was genuine, and we purchased it in November last year. So that brings you up to why we have the nameplate. And of course, the really significant thing about the nameplate is its place of discovery, which greatly extends the generally held view of just how far Leichhardt got on that expedition. It doesn't say where Leichhardt died. We still don't know that. And of course, many other views of Leichhardt have him dying in or around the Simpson Desert and other places. The fate of Leichhardt is one of the most contested questions in Australian history, and Australian exploration history, certainly. And of course, we don't expect everyone to accept our view on this. That is why we put all of our evidence out on the website in November, and why we mount a display like this, so that people can see our grounds for purchasing this nameplate and the sort of evidence that we have amassed to support that decision and this conclusion that Leichhardt got two-thirds of the way across the continent, which was a huge undertaking for a European at that time. But nonetheless, the debate about Leichhardt and how far he got will no doubt continue, and we will hear today of some of those other views, I'm sure. And today's event really is part of that ongoing debate about Leichhardt, and I think that can only be a good thing, because through bringing speakers together like we have today, we can continue to amass an even bigger body of knowledge about this most interesting man who came to our shores in 1842.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs, and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.